Blog Talk Radio.
This particular song right here is...
Caller with the last four digits 020.
This is Candida Chatfield from Norman, Oklahoma.
Welcome, Sister Candida.
Thank you. Pleased to be here, and shalom, sister.
Shalom. Last four digits 1478. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
This is Siri Lilly calling from Houston, Texas. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us. Caller with the last four digits, 4118. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
This is Brother Yaya Sankofa from Oklahoma City. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, tonight's topic will be about the Juneteenth legislation. Is that reparations? Do you think that's fair? Sister Candida, I'm going to have you weigh in first.
Thank you very much. Absolutely not. And the reason I say that is because there's nothing really to celebrate for Juneteenth. It's like a slap in the face, because what they did is they tricked the people into thinking that they were liberated or set free, which it was tied into the Emancipation Proclamation. What that meant was they just went from working free labor and not getting paid and being under private ownership to being under federal ownership and getting paid. So to me, it's just like a slap in the face, a pissing in our face, a mockery. And they're doing all this just to distract people away from reparations and what it really means. So, and they had focused originally on Texas because they were the last people to know practically in this country about the Emancipation Proclamation. But it didn't free us. To this day, we're not free. We are still a colonized people. And with that, I yield the floor.
Ashe, ashe. Sister Lily Siri, you're from Texas. What will you please weigh in? Do you think it was fair, or are the people how is the temperature in Texas about Juneteenth as a national holiday, as opposed to actually giving us some tangible reparations?
Thank you for asking, Sister Porter, and this is an important call for me specifically because I've lived my entire life in Texas, and I only recently discovered Juneteenth about 20 years ago when I moved to Houston, Texas, and I have to honestly say that I celebrated it. I celebrated it along with everyone else because in this state, it's a very highly celebrated event simply because it involves Texas. And what I've learned is that we didn't learn about the end of slavery, the Emancipation Proclamation, until 2 years afterwards. There are several rumors, one of which I was told that the original person who came to Texas to the port to announce the end of slavery was murdered, and that's one of the reasons why they fought very hard to not even let the slaves know, because they were afraid of whatever uprisings or people just walking away from the farms and could get better help in that. But I will say this, about a year ago, actually for the past 5 years or so, a friend of mine, and I've asked him to come on too if he can, this gentleman used to get his check signed by A. Philip Randolph. He was a part of the movement when King was in the streets, and he was right there with King in some of the places that they went. This Tennessean brother was angry when he came to Texas and found out that we were celebrating this event. It wasn't a national holiday, but at the time, and like I said, for 20 years, we've been celebrating it for a long time. What angers me the most, I think, is that they're attempting to make this the new date that slavery ended. If you read any of the information in the news, they talk about the end of slavery being Juneteenth, and in actuality, there were other states besides Texas that continued to hold on to slavery even afterwards. So this is just something that is a Texas date. It got big because Texas made it big. And so now I see the United States attempting to acknowledge it. But again, I agree with Sister Candida. It is a slap in the face. It is not reparations of any kind. I call it pacification. Just like George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, it's a pacification. It's something they call bleeding the tension so that we are satisfied with these, I guess what you would call, I don't want to call it trinkets, but it's just a symbolism. It does nothing, absolutely nothing. A day off from the plantation does absolutely nothing to empower a very economically depressed people in the United States. In fact, the most economically depressed population in the U.S. This is like, as Sister Candida said, throwing a dog bone to a dog. This is nothing. This is nothing. And so now I am opposed to, as a result of the things that I've been learning, Juneteenth as a celebration. Because as my friend, Mr. People said, why would you celebrate the fact that you didn't know you were free?
And exactly. Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you, Sister Lily, for sharing your input on Juneteenth. I do have another caller that I'd like to bring in, and then I'm going to go to Brother Yaya. This caller has the last four digits, 9418, and when I bring you in, will you please state your name, first name, and the city and state where you're calling from? Last four digits, 9418. Please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from.
Yes, I think it's me. It's Mike Bear. I'm not sure if this thing is even working. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not even hearing. It seems like the microphone is hearing it through the headpiece, but I don't know. My phones around here aren't too, they're not in working order like they should be. But anyways, my name is Mike Barrow from Rockland, Mass., a little small town out of Boston there, and I just saw the thing on Facebook with the radio broadcast, because I know I had asked Candide if there was anything coming up, but apparently, you had the program right after I spoke with her. But for a day, I'm just listening to a day and seeing what the others' opinions are towards it. But the way I figure, we've never been free anyway, so, you know, just something else to take the more, well, I'd say black people's minds off of what's really going on. If you were free, then we wouldn't need all these laws to give us whatever little movement that we are still trying to make laws. So I don't know why blacks are celebrating when it's still in, well, you're just slaves but not in chains. That's pretty much how I feel. You know, it's some might disagree with me, but we're just still slaves with no physical chains, and we're probably never going to be free until that special time comes. But anyway, I'm Mike Barrow from Rockland, Massachusetts.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, thank you. And I always enjoy when you come and you speak. Brother Yaya, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. It's good to hear your voice again.
Can you share? Good to hear you too, brother.
In the past few weeks, but I'm in full agreement with those who spoke earlier. It's just a simple token, a small bone to the dog, just something else that black folks jump at any time the white man say, "Hey, I'm gonna give you Negro something." It really doesn't mean a great deal. For some, it's a great celebration, but for the masses, it's just nothing else but another kick in the face. With that,
yeah.
I'll sit.
Yes, I want to bring attention to the distinguish how we can distinguish between reparations domestically and reparations according to international and human rights law. I want to bring attention to two cases. One case is a case, the case Cato versus the United States. And in the opinion in that case, they stated that the reason why we were not entitled to reparations was because, A, we didn't have treaties with the United States, B, we didn't have a the statute of limitations ran out, and B, had something to do with we didn't have, basically they were saying we didn't have a juridical personality. However, when I looked at the case with the Saramacca tribe in the Inter-American Court, that was one of the first international reparations cases that I researched, and I kind of cut my teeth on, and I did a comparison, and I found out that pursuing reparations from an international in the international jurisdiction was more favorable to us, and that's how we found out when we researched that reparations case that the Inter-American Court was more favorable to indigenous people and to Afro descendants. As a matter of fact, in the Inter-American court system, Afro descendants have gotten various gains. They have autonomy, and they are penciled in into those host countries. And I say that because we are in a parasitical relationship no matter where we are. We are colonized, and those host countries, what happened was they put an amendment into the Constitution, similar to like what happened in Quebec. They put an amendment in the Constitution recognizing their right to self-determination and autonomy, their land rights and other rights that they were entitled to. So we're in the wrong jurisdiction, number one, and the laws here are not favorable, you know, for us. The judicial system is not favorable towards us when it comes to reparations, because the United States has sovereign immunity, a sovereign immunity clause within the Constitution that will not allow them to be held accountable. We have to face it. Human rights hold states, hold governments accountable. States' rights are the rights that are derived from the state, and they are the defendant. We're the plaintiffs, and they're the defendant. They are the criminal. They created the crime. They are the ones who committed the crime against us, so we can't expect them to give us any tangible reparations. So I think my opinion of what old Uncle Jim Crow Joe did, he needs to come on clean with us a little change. He needs to get ready to go to court because this was symbolic. Reparations. It means absolutely nothing. We cannot eat a holiday, okay? We can't pay our bills with a holiday. We can't pass on any generational wealth, you know, with a holiday. We need tangible reparations. Also, I want to bring attention, and I don't know if you all are taking notes, you know, because I forgot to announce it at the beginning of the call. But I'd like you all to research General Assembly 60147. That is the reparations General Assembly resolution. And reparations look so much different in international and human rights law. And we do have another caller that I want to bring in before I actually go into talking about UN Resolution 60147.
You said it's UN Resolution 6147.
Yes, UN Resolution, UN General Assembly Resolution 6147. Caller with the last four digits, 7875, will you please state your name, the city and the state that you're calling from?
Name is Kendrick Sims, calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to share your position on the Juneteenth legislation? Are you happy about it? Do you think that's compensation for real reparations? Will you please share your insight?
I personally think it's a distraction from the dire needs that we have. I take it as a slap in the face, and it really disheartened me to see how the majority of our people are taking it as a party. But it should mean more than that, but making the national holiday is only going to benefit them. I already have seen ads on get your Juneteenth shirt and all type of things that their businesses are trying to come up with. They getting a holiday off from work. They getting paid for it. It's benefiting them more than benefiting us simply because it's more of them than us.
That's
and
true.
To me, just for me personally, it's not a – it's something that they can use to say, we can't do nothing to please you guys. As soon as reparations come back up again, that's the first thing they're going to say, well, we'll give you a holiday. You ain't pleased? I just say don't be fooled with the distraction. For me, that's what it appears to be. They're trying to get us off the reparations and say, well, we gave you this day. Be glad of that. And it is,
well,
in a sense, it offended me.
Yes, and it offends me as well, specifically here in the South and in places like Detroit. Our people are suffering from racism, mass murders, and we have so much violence being directed towards us internally and externally. The infrastructure in most everywhere where we are, the infrastructure is horrible. Our people are losing property. I know several counties here in Georgia, people are being pushed out of their homes. In Detroit, I spoke with an Aboriginal brother who's working on the Flint, Michigan situation. Nobody's talking about that. It's almost like it's being covered up. Nobody's doing anything about that. I know Brother Ramzu has been fighting for the past, I know, umpteen years trying to secure property rights and secure land rights for those homeless people up there in Detroit. It was so heartbreaking when I went to Detroit a couple of years ago to support Brother Ramzu and Brother Daniel and the peoples of Detroit. I spoke with sisters who were working two jobs and was living out of their car. And, you know, you have the idea, we have this idea of homeless people, they're lazy, they just want a handout. But, brother, that was not the case. The case where these weren't women were working poor women. I spoke with several people who lived with extended families so they could split the rent. What happened in Michigan, in Detroit, was they did selective annexing and underbounding. They jacked the taxes up so high people couldn't pay for their property. They cut off the water. Our people have been harmed. And for them to even fathom a mere holiday for all these things, this is not nothing that happened in 1965 or 1865. These are human rights abuses that are happening right here. So we have international human rights laws that protect us as a people. And with that, I yield the floor to anyone who would like to respond.
This is Siri Lilly out of Houston, Texas, and I'd like to respond to that as well. Everything that you said, Sister Porter, is absolutely correct. And it called when you brought up Brother Ramzu in Detroit, it brought up something that's tangible, something that everyone here can go and look up on your browser, and that there was a young man who was about to graduate high school. They got evicted from their house or their apartment, wherever they were living. It was a single mother with two or three children, and the oldest one was graduating high school, like the next day or something like that. And the young man was so distraught because he had lost his home that she sent him outside to the vehicle. They finally got a hotel room, and she sent him outside to their car to get something, and he never came back. The next thing she knew, she called the police finally, and when they finally found him, he was right across the street on the train tracks. He just walked out in front of the train. This is a 17-year-old child. And I need to say that the depression levels that occur in our population are a direct result of economic disadvantage, which is purposely forced upon us. It's not hard to see the war on drugs and the war against crime is the war against melanated people. And it's a very simple process. You keep them in an enslaved state, namely slave wages. We went from working for free to working for slave wages. And all that does is make it look like the carrot that they're dangling in front of you is a little bit better or bigger. When you work for slave wages, they make it where when you get a felony, which they just foist them on pretty much every black person in every major metroplex, whether you've done something wrong or not. And there are, I don't need to go through the many people who are in prison right now today who have already been found innocent, and they're not letting them go, even though they've been found innocent. These are all human rights abuses. So the way that you keep this population disadvantaged, you give them a felony, and that way they can't get a decent job. They can't get a job at a place that will pay them a living wage. They have to work minimum wage. And then they tell us that you shouldn't be working minimum wage. You should be trying to find something better. Well, I mean, that's the case for those who aren't in this system. But I can walk outside my front door right now and pull five young black men up to me and ask, and I'm certain four out of those five have a felony offense against them, some of which just for being in the neighborhood. The police system is corrupt. They do more than just murder us. They plant drugs on us. They give us felonies so that, and this is a system that's been set up, it's been designed for many, many decades. Slavery, you are correct, never ended. It went from slavery to the release program,
penal system. It was the penal system where they used that exception of the 13th Amendment to re-enslave our ancestors after Lincoln was murdered. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes,
no,
yes.
After Lincoln was murdered. And so what they did is it's a work release program that they started putting these people after slavery, and you could just jaywalk and go to prison, not get a ticket or go to jail for a few days. You go to prison. Here in Houston, Texas, in Sugar Land, which is just on the southern outskirts of Houston, many of you may have heard of the Sugar Land 95, where they found all those graves of people. There was the Imperial Sugar Plant there. That plant was once a plantation. The prison, which is the Jester Unit, is right down the street from that sugar mill. And it's shut down there. It's no longer operational. However, the youngest person found at that prison mass grave was 9 years old, a young nine-year-old boy. What I don't know what a nine-year-old boy could have done to get him in prison, but that's where he was. I can't think of what they call it. It's some kind of work release, but I'll think of it here in a second. And to finalize, it went from slavery to that to now the industrial prison complex. We have never been freed in the United States. The thing is that most of us don't realize it. And those That's who true. Do have the intelligence or have studied enough to realize it, they simply go get their little piece of the pie and then turn around and tell you, I got mine, you get yours. Mm-hmm. And so there's a general consensus among melanated people, especially in the South, and I know for a fact here in Texas, they don't want to see, they don't have time or are afraid to try to help others to get up. They'll tell you a lot about how to work your finances. They'll sell that information to you. But as a brother that I listened to regularly while they allowed him to speak, Grandmaster Jay said, the game is to be told, not sold. The selling, the capitalism of the capitalizing of information, knowledge in order to better ourselves, it has been monetized. It's the capitalization of information, and it's not supposed to be that way. I'll say that much, and one more thing I want to say. If anyone hasn't watched it, there's a documentary on NPR, Democracy Now!, and it is called Chasing the Scream, S-C-R-E-A-M. You really need to see what is said about what has been done. One of the warfares against melanated people in the United States, they literally have gone to war with us for decades. We do nothing about it except cry. So with that, I yield.
I do have some more callers that I need to bring in. I have about four more callers that I'm going to bring in. When I bring you in, please state your name and the city, state that, and city and the state that you're calling from. We have a pretty, we're well behaved on this show. We take turns. So I'm not going to mute your mic. I'm going to go ahead and bring you in. Caller with the last four digits, 7009, will you please state your name and the city and the state that you're calling from?
Well, good evening. My name is Aquisi, and I'm calling out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling, brother. Caller with the last four digits, 0852, will you please state your name and the city and the state that you're calling from? Caller with the last four digits, 0852. Caller with the last four digits, 4741. Caller with the last four digits, 4741. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from? Hello?
Social media marketing.
I'll mute that person. Last four digits with the caller with the last four digits, 1329, will you please state your name, the city and state that you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Layman Brewster. I'm the former heavyweight champion of the world. I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Thank you so much for joining us, champ. Wonderful. It's good to hear from you again. I have a passage that I want to read concerning the basic principles and guidelines on the right to a remedy and reparations for victims of gross violations of international and human rights law and serious violations of international humanitarian law. It does not define either gross violations of international human rights law or serious violations of international humanitarian law. Although not formally defined in international law, gross violations and serious violations denote types of violations that affect, in qualitative and quantitative terms, the most basic rights of human beings, notably the right to life, and the right to physical and moral integrity and human person. It is generally assumed that genocide, slavery, and slave trade, murder, enforced disappearances, torture, or other cruel, humane, and degrading treatment or punishment, prolonged arbitrary detention, deportation, and forcible transfer of population and systemic racial discrimination fall into this category. Deliberate and systematic deprivation of essential foodstuffs, essential primary health care of basic shelter and housing may also amount to gross violations of human rights. In international humanitarian law, serious violations are to be distinguished from grave breaches. The latter refers to atrocious violations that are defined in international humanitarian law but relating to international armed conflicts. The term serious violations is referred to but not defined in international humanitarian law. It denotes severe violations that constitute crimes under international law, whether committed in international or non-international armed conflicts. The acts and the elements of serious violations, along with grave breaches, are reflected in Article 8 of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court under war crimes. That's a powerful passage. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why it's powerful to me. Over the years, every time we talk about reparations, we talk about it in domestic terms. We define it in domestic terms. We allow the offender to frame the narrative for the harms that they committed against us. And the question that I have for you all, for you callers, after I read that passage, do you think we'll ever get justice domestically? Do you think we're in the right jurisdiction? I'm going to throw another question out there. Why has our leadership not asserted our human rights? We have the Black Caucus that proposes to, lend itself to be the face for Black America. We have leadership in Congress that propose to, they represent us. They're supposed to be representing Black America. Can you respond to some of those questions? Any one of those questions, I'd like to get another perspective on it because it may be something that I'm missing.
You answered your question early in the statement you made around I got mine, get yours.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that we have elected has gotten theirs and not concerned about anybody but themselves. And you can tell by the action of their lack of action. It may be a couple that are sincerely concerned about the well-being of Black America. But most of them, in my opinion, are just doing a job to get along. And they're doing a good job of getting along without raising any sand. I know I was in a situation somebody told me, you didn't need to shut up and go along with the game being played. And that's exactly what's happening. They're going along with the games being played. We need to clean house and bring some more progressive thinking, younger individuals in that has cleared their mind of that slave mentality. That's the problem, in my opinion.
Ashe, Ashe. Is there anyone else that would like to respond?
Yes, this is Candida Chatfield, and I would. This is to the gentleman that just got finished speaking. It doesn't matter if we get rid of the political representatives that are in office right now and bring some more in because the system is totally corrupt. One thing that our people haven't come to realize or to accept is that this system here is a white supremacist system. And It was built on that for the promotion of European male white supremacy and African black inferiority. So we will never get any justice within this system. The only way that we're going to get justice is we're going to have to seek justice outside of the jurisdiction of the United States. All this hoopla that they're giving us is just to distract us and to hold us back and to keep our people from realizing that we have to move from the mindset of civil rights to human rights. This is what Malcolm X had found out, and he relayed what he had found out to Martin Luther King. And when both of them was on the scene and started speaking about our human rights, because each one of them had the massive following that they did, that's the reason they were assassinated. And that was back there in the 60s. And look at us today, 2021.
Right.
And we have still not come to the realization as a people that we have to forget about the civil rights and move on to our human rights. Because if we stay in the civil rights mind frame, they can easily say, just like some of them are saying, oh, that was way back then. Because they have statutes of limitations on them. But the things that they have been doing to us in this country are gross human rights violations, which there is no statute of limitations on. But we as a people have to come together in order for us to get justice outside of this jurisdiction. And the only way that that's going to happen is we're going to have to pull our consent away from the United States. And in doing that, that's saying we no longer want to be under your jurisdiction. We want to claim our self-determination. Right. Because they're not going to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves, and we have the right to do that. And what that self-determination means is that we will come under the banner of a nationalized people, and we will become sovereign. Everybody has a right to be sovereign. The United States is sovereign. Why are they trying to keep that from us? They don't want us to be. They want us to keep being up under their foot. And with that, I yield the floor.
Wonderful. I have some terms that I would like to share with the audience. One term is called remedy. Remedy is used to refer to a procedural remedy, while the term reparation refers to the obligation to provide restitution, compensation, rehabilitation, satisfaction, and guarantees of non-repetition. According to UN Principles on Reparations, full and effective reparations include the following forms: restitution, compensation, rehabilitation, satisfaction, and guarantees of non-repetition. Restitution refers to measures that restore victims to the original situation before the suffered gross violations of international human rights law and serious violations of international humanitarian law occurred. For example, restoration of liberty, identity, family life, and citizenship, return to one's place of residence, restoration of employment, and return of property. All these things is what we're entitled to according to international human rights law. But we won't get that remedy domestically. Why? Because the United States has circumvented its state responsibility It is complicit in apartheid. It's complicit in practicing colonialism and belligerent occupancy. They have robbed us of our identity. They use the point of entry for our point of entry concerning our identity is 1619, when we have documented proof we were already here. Our sovereignty was displaced. Some of our ancestors' sovereignty was displaced here within the United States domestically, and some of our ancestors' sovereignty was displaced on the continent of Africa. But the key word is we need to be restored back to where we were before the harm occurred. That's what that means to me, what I just read. Restoring us back, our liberties back. Sovereignty is the highest aspiration of freedom, which is basically the synonym mm-hmm. for self-determination. That means we govern and dictate our own identity. We dictate our political configuration. Right now, the political configuration that we're in, the fact that the United States have us penciled in as a minority, that relegates us to a disposable population. Why? Because we can't control anything. We don't control any means of production. We're not self-sufficient. We don't have a way to protect ourselves. We don't control our tax dollars. We don't control the institutions that we depend on. They've all been weaponized from the public food system on to the healthcare system. So we have no other choice but to look outside the jurisdiction of the United States and assert our human rights. Right now there's a movement where we have a lot of groups that have declared nationhood. We're organizing now. We're confederating. I am in contact with other groups and reaching out to them because this year I would like for us to go ahead and file a reparations case in the inter-American system so we can get immediate remedy. We don't have another 40 years to give away. We've given away 40 years, over 30 or 40 years to H.R. 40. Nothing has came of it. Nothing tangible. What is a study? Our children can't eat a study. We can't pay bills with a study. I can't go to Georgia Power with a study. Can you go to your utility company with a study and pay a bill? No. We can't. A holiday? That was a slap in the face. So I admonish everybody. I'm asking everyone, when you get the opportunity, pull down the UN resolution, General Assembly Resolution 6147. Talk about it with your friends. Talk about it with your family members. Let us not stop talking about reparations. Let us keep this conversation going. If you're in your churches and you have an opportunity to speak, let's talk about these things that we need in our communities. We have to start organizing. We have to start advocating for ourselves because the leadership that is supposed to represent us, they're not doing a very good job right now. And with that, I yield the floor to anyone who would like to come in and speak.
This is Layman Brewster. I'm very happy to be here on the show today, and I just want to say thank you guys for inviting me. I have a different approach, only because I believe in God 100%, which means I also believe in the lineage of our people, according to the scientists E1B1A haplo blood type, which means that we are the direct descendants of the children of Israel, because not just the blood type, but the craniums, the skulls that they had taken the measurements of that before 70 AD in Israel only matched that of the Negroes that spread out through the Congo, which were brought to America. With that being said, remember God said that he was going to put a curse on us, and it was going to be a generational curse. And if you believe that you, I mean, so if you really believe in God, then that will mean that you and everybody don't, and that's fine. But the point I'm trying to make is this: there was this man called Noah, and Noah had three sons. Noah's three sons were tasked with trying to with repopulating the whole world, and from Noah's sons, we all come from. And his first son was Shem, and that was actually who we descend from, because through the lineage of Shem comes the Arabs and the Negroes, and then through Japhet we come to know Caucasians for lack of a better word, and then after that we know there was Ham, which were the Hamitic people, which were the people that inherited the southern part of the world. Shem had the middle part of the world. And Japhet had the northern part of the world, which reflects all of our complexion. That's why Africans don't grow facial hair, and they're a darker skin than us. But if we're in a crowd of Africans among Negroes, white people would think we were all the same. But I'm saying all this for a point. The point I'm trying to make is that if you understand history, if you look at the first kingdom on earth, it was the kingdom of the descendants of Ham. How do we know this? Because the first United States was Babylon. That was Nimrod. Nimrod's father was Cush. Cush is the one why we say Europe, which is short for Europa Indians, that come from Africa, and that's where Europe comes from. But the Caucasians that were, you know, they were educated through the Hamitic people, because, you know, they also have a part of the Neanderthal blood, which comes from those Caucasus Mountains, which they bred with because they ate raw meat, and they still eat a lot of raw meat today, or half-cooked meat, which God told us not to. But the children of Shem that comes from the middle part of the world, our skin reflects that, which is more of a tropical climate. That's why when you look and do your history, you come to understand that Negro is synonymous with the not with Africa, but with the people that came from Africa, that came directly from Israel in 70 AD. They went up there to Portugal and helped the Portuguese to fight the Moors, the African Moors, which were the Muslim people like that. And then the point is, in the 1500s, well, if you look up the Spanish Inquisition, those people had changed their name from the children of Israel. They changed their name to Negro, which was El Negro, which is what they were being called. And then late years later, when Christianity came, the government told them that everybody had to convert to Christianity, and these Israelites said no, and therefore they start putting them in jail, and they put them off of the coast of Africa, which is I forget even the name of the port at this point, because I'm trying to hurry up because I know we ain't got a lot of time. But the point I'm trying to make is this: those Negro people went down into Africa. The Spanish government made a pact. This is all public record, by the way. The Spanish government made a contract with the African, the Hamitic people, the people that descend from Ham that were in Africa, and said, look, these people that are migrating down to your coast, these people belong to us. These are our property. We're going to give you money for them, and we're going to give you guns. And that's how we ended up here. And just as the Bible says, it said, we were going to come to a land that our forefathers had never known. And though we were here first, because 700 years before 70 AD, we had already went to war with Assyria. They took us into captivity, and that's how we ended up here 700 years before anybody even knew America existed. But the whole point is, all the things that we want to do, God already said he was going to do, because he said that he was going to allow these people to rule the earth. And like I was saying, the first dynasty was that of Ham. The second dynasty is that of Japhet. But the last kingdom, he said, is going to be the children of Israel. And he said they're going to take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and even ever. And everybody's going to be made to be servants to us. Now, if you believe in God, then that's exactly what the word says, word for word, and I can show anybody. So if you say you believe in God, you have to believe. We're from Northern Africa, and yes, please, brother, we did go down to the Congo. We did live in that part of Africa, but that's why we went into captivity, because they knew we weren't from that part of the land. So I'll be quiet. If anybody got any questions,
no, Chief, no,
I have a question.
Champ, you teaching now.
Yeah, I just wanted to know one thing on that. You said it's human rights law. UN, what is that again? Because I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, it's General Assembly Resolution 60-147, Basic Principles.
60.
Yeah, it's General Assembly Resolution 60/147.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. That's what I was trying to find it this whole time. I was trying to wait to let that brother speak, so, but I want to look it up because this is Siri Lilly, by the way. I do have a YouTube page, and I'm going to be uploading a video or two here very shortly, and I want to discuss some of this documentation for the laws that protect us, that we're not taught, and I know for a fact. I just recently deleted my Facebook page of 5,000 people worldwide. Countries, if it's Facebook is in that country, I pretty much had them on my page from those who agreed and those who disagreed because the main goal was to make people aware of my book initially, but it became what I'm supposed to do, and that is fight for my people. I've always known that. I just didn't know how I was going to do it, and so I thank you guys for bringing me into the human rights movement for the Americas. People don't understand what the Americas is. There's North America, yes, where we live, but there's also Central America and South America, and all of those places are right together. You can travel back and forth by boat on those places to these Americas. So I don't understand why they don't think that black people were here when black people were in Haiti. They were in Jamaica. They were in Mexico. There's roughly 3 million. They don't tell you how many. They lie on the census in Mexico the same way they lie on the census in the United States. And I said that out loud. Because I do understand that many of the people who are classified as white are Puerto Rican and Ethiopian, and they are not white. But this is how they pad the numbers and make you think that calling us the minority is true. We are not. So I want to make sure that I make all of this clear on my page. With the videos that I'm about to begin. I've got quite a few, and if you don't know, if you haven't seen me on YouTube, please subscribe, like my videos, share my videos more than anything. Hit the little bell so that you'll when you're on YouTube, if you don't hit that bell, they'll only show you the most popular videos. They won't show you every one, but you'll get alerted whenever I upload a video if you hit that little bell that's also up there. But I will go ahead and yield the floor there. I want to make sure I get this document that you're talking about.
And thank you so much, Sister Lily. I appreciate
everything.
I'd like
everything. To say something. Acknowledge what Champ was saying.
Yes,
I would like to address that. Champ, and this is Candida Sheffield. I understand where you were going. That's a lot of history. And I understand what you're talking about. But also concerning the prophecies, what did it say? It said that the Israelites would leave this land with great substance. Isn't that what it said, Champ?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. And what does that, and that great substance means material things in addition to what was gained as far as the years of captivity. So.
Yes.
And we had talked about this some. So this is how I see it. How many Israelites would you say is here in Babylon? About. It doesn't have to be marked in stone, but how many about?
45 million, I mean. 45 to 48 million.
No.
50 million.
Israelites, because there's different. I'm just talking about the Israelites, because that's just one group.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you're talking about. I want to
say. Well,
I was
asking Champ. Champ, what you think?
Oh, okay.
If you're asking me, I would say it's an innumerable amount, because the only difference between us and other nations around this Western Hemisphere was a boat stop. But even before that,
okay,
our people
right.
came here. So there are millions
okay.
upon millions upon millions. I mean, they are, when I say they, I'm speaking of the children of Japheth. Now, remember, Japheth breaks down to Kittim. Kittim breaks down to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had a fight with the people that called themselves the sons of Isaac. They're called Saxons, and it said that they assimilated. So anybody that is not yeah. within that confounds of the children of Japheth or the descendants of Esau, they pretty much, you know, you could say of Negro descent or Israel, you know, descendants of
okay.
Israel, unless they're
okay.
Arabs or
All
Africans.
All right, well, the point I'm trying to make to you is I get the point that you believe in the prophecies. I believe in the prophecy, too. And I also believe mm-hmm. when the Most High said we would leave here in great substance. So
we will.
If we already have a strategy that all of us can come together, but yet tame our own autonomy, I don't see anything wrong or going against the prophecies that we follow this strategy. Because if you believe what the Most High said, then you wouldn't be going against anything he said by nationalizing. You wouldn't. How so?
Well,
it doesn't matter if the people call themselves, if the people call themselves Moor or the Nation of Islam or whatever, they still want to call themselves that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Black Israelites, we can still do that.
But see, Sister Candida,
it doesn't take anything away from us to come under Afro descendant, because that is a legal name. That's
mm-hmm.
correct.
For the purposes for us to
mm-hmm.
File for our reparations.
Kind of like
absolutely.
So Sister Candida, kind of like when you say the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are 12. Different tribes. They're not all the same people, but they are the
right.
tribes. So you've got the
yeah.
Israelites, you've got the NOI, you've got the indigenous, you've got all these different tribes. I mean, you had the Arawak that were here
mm-hmm.
in the Florida area. You had the Taino who were over in the Caribbean, the Caribs. You had the Polynesian, the Asiatics
yes.
who were
yes.
over in Hawaii. You had all different
yes.
kinds, but they were all melanated people.
And the
Europeans came over here and just grouped us all together in one.
Exactly.
Right. So Sister Lily. So what did Grandmaster Jay said? He said, just be black.
Black.
And that's what we're dealing with, my brother.
No.
Like, that's what we're dealing with.
Can I make
with.
A comment?
Please. Come in, please.
And who is this?
This is Aquisi out of Charleston, okay. South Carolina.
Okay.
I want to comment on a lot of different things, but I want to be as concise as I possibly can be. And I guess I kind of represent the Gullah Geechee Nation.
Good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah. It's interesting everything I'm hearing, right? Because I think Sister Lena, she know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yes.
Prior to me being where I'm at, my father has some information in a file cabinet, a little small file cabinet he used to have breaking down the 12 tribes of Israel. And because of that, at the age of, I'm 39, I'll be 39 in July, but because of that, at the age of 19, I got a tattoo on my arm with a crown on it that says the King of Judah. So that's interesting. Everybody's saying everything.
You're kind of muffled,
everybody,
brother.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hear me better?
You're kind of going in and out a little bit.
Okay, I got bad reception a little bit where I'm at. But what
okay.
I said is I got a tattoo on my arm that says King of Judah. I got that when I was like 19 years old. I didn't really know what it meant, but it resonated with me. And you know, I used to read the Bible a lot. So a lot of what everybody is saying kind of come out the Bible. And my understanding is we gonna have to have if we want to use that reference for our logic, then we gonna have to have some more Moseses, some individuals who gonna be able to articulate everything that's being said, individuals who gonna study the UN documents, whatever other documents, and take it in and be able to articulate it. That's what Malcolm was able to do. That's what Martin was able to do, and do it with a particular a harmony and vibration that people gravitate towards their message. So we have to have people that's going to be able to articulate this to the masses of our people, as well as those individuals like Sister Elena who can go and do it formally to the government. You know what I mean? And I think they want to comment too is I often see to brothers where I'm at that our elders have already like laid the foundation. They've already said everything that needs to be said, and we should be in the applying stage. You dig what I'm saying? Malcolm said what he said through his various messages that we know about Mr. Grassroots, et cetera, you know, and various other ancestors that are, you know, in the ancestral realm now. So, and we got this technology. The technology has changed everything so we can develop our own forms of media. That could be a big thing that we need to do, develop our own forms of media and to educate the masses if we want to bring more people into getting reparations, getting rallying behind, you know, reparations. I'm a novice right now. I'm still a baby in this and I'm still learning, but I can see where I'll be in like 4 or 5 years if I master this information and be able to articulate it to the people closest to me to bring them an understanding of what is due to us as a people. And I'm going to conclude with this. We ain't going to have sovereignty until our warrior class get up and do what they need to do. And I ain't going to, you know, be detailed. Y'all be read between the lines. Until our warrior class get up and stand up, being able to be doing but a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that don't mean we ain't going to get everything. We can't exclude that element. You know what I mean? In our fight for sovereignty. That's all I want to say.
That's right. And
May I add something, Sister Elena? That I'd like to say to this brother. I'd like to acknowledge something that he said. You were talking about sovereignty, and you were talking about what Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, the foundation that they had laid. Well, we have people out here right now, my brother, that has been studying for years. This movement that's coming about, or that is in progress, is not something that happened yesterday. It's been going on for quite some time. Now, Sister Elena, I mean, she trained. She's been all overseas to Iran. She's been before the UN. She's working on things for our people right now. She is a human rights defender and well-trained. And she has already been filing various papers on our behalf. And then we have Brother Ramsey, who's in Detroit, who has over 150,000 people that have already joined this movement. He's built his capacity out there. All we have to do at this point, brother, since the foundation has been laid with this national liberation movement, is we have to build capacity in every state where we have our people. All they have to do is give consent, that sign one little sheet of paper saying, I fire the United States, and I'm claiming my right to self-determination, which is our sovereignty. That's all they have to do, because we have all these people that have already signed the necessary documents. So this is what we're seeking now. In each state, where we have a population of black folks, we're building capacity.
And Sister Candida, I want to piggyback on something. I want to go back to CHAMP because we got to
go
get
right ahead.
We got to get the people in the church. If you, when you get an opportunity, CHAMP, would you please refer, I know Sister Candida shared something with me that you had shared, I believe it was on your page. If you have like a little syllabus or a little lesson plan that, you know, when, you know, with scriptures in the Bible that talks about reparations, that talk about self-determination, share those with me because we have a whole population in these churches that need to hear the message about reparations right in the way that you frame it. And I want to learn how to talk about reparations, too, in the church. I was raised in the church, but I strayed away from it because, I learned about, how the Bible was used as a weapon. But eventually I had to go back and get my Bible. But I want to learn about some of those verses that you shared that talk about reparations, that talk about us as a nation, that talk about nation building, how we are the chosen people. That's why I loved the way Grandmaster Jay he taught us out of the those different scriptures. I enjoyed listening to the morning mentals. I got spiritually fed, and that's what our people need. Our people need somebody to spiritually feed them and guide them. You know, it's one thing to quote the law, but I need to be able to quote the scripture too, and tell them where it is in the scripture.
Law, God's law.
That's right, the universal law. So anytime you have any scriptures you want to share, please forward it because I want to incorporate it into what I'm doing on the ground in terms of international law, but I also want to get back in the universal law, as Sister Lily said, so I can get in these churches and deliver that message. We can all come together. Everybody can keep their identity. But at the end of the day, we're all up under the same roof. But due to the oppression, some of us became Christians. Some of us became Muslims. Some of us practiced Buddhism. Some of us went back to our indigenous ancestors' religions or spiritual practice.
Not a spiritual practice.
So with that, I yield the floor.
Let me add one thing and piggyback off of you right quick. I just want to say this to my brother, Champ. Are you there? Champ?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? Are you there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
This is the message, the one message that I have been getting from the Most High for the last 3 or so years. He said, and you know I'm not good at telling you exactly where it is in the scripture because I had to go, look it up. But he has been telling me, come out from among them. Come out from among them. In claiming our self-determination and sovereignty, we will be doing exactly that. Until that time is when we're called to leave Babylon with great self. Do you remember where that scripture is, Champ, that says to come out from among them?
Yes, that's Revelation chapter 18, where it says, be not partakers of her wicked deeds. Because, first of all, the worst thing that ever happened to Negroes was Christianity. Because Christianity had you believing that Jesus Christ was a white man and he was going to come down from the sky with blonde hair and blue eyes and he was going to save everybody. The Bible speaks for itself. And as a matter of fact, it was only given to one people. The Bible is not for Christians. There is nowhere on there. Christ was not a Christian. He was a Jew. He was from the seed of Jesse.
He was a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the tribe of Judah. I mean, Christianity hurt all people. It divided all people. And democracy hurt all people because you don't have the right as a young Negro to wake up and decide you want to wear a dress. You don't have the right to wake up as a woman and decide you're just going to be a man and everybody has to accept that. That's for the other race. That's the children of Japheth who is in rulership on this earth. As I said, Ham had their rulership. Japheth had their rulership, but he said after the 400 years, he's going to bring a curse against the earth. He's going to bring plagues and pestilence to start breaking up this kingdom. That's why their money is dying. That's why they're killing themselves. When we was on crack, we was criminals. They on opioids. They trying to get them help. Don't even put them in jail. God is bringing all these curses upon them, and we're right for thinking the way we're thinking, but this whole entire world is going to be given to us. We've created everything but the patent office. This whole world is going to be given to us, but if you only go by Christianity, you would think God loves everybody and this and that, but God said that he said that Israel is his first. He said he loved us. He chose us. That's why Abraham, he told Rebecca what to do to make sure that Jacob received the blessing and not his brother Esau. I mean, it's just so much, so many lies we have been told. But everything that you guys are saying is in line with the word. And us coming together, it said that the saints will come together. It said we will take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and even ever, because the last kingdom are going to be the children that come from Shem, because, as I said, Ham had his rulership, Japheth is having his rulership, and all we got to do is just keep doing what we're doing, keep trying to fight to come together until that time comes when he tears this world. Now, we ain't talking about the planet. The world is a structure. The world says you got to go to school and you got to get a degree and you got to do this, you got to do that. And no, this is man-made laws. There are 43,000 man-made laws. God gave us 613. He said, my covenant with you. That is what we're, that, like the covenant he made with us is what I'm trying to say. That is the law that we're supposed to follow. If we follow the laws of God, then all these curses will go away. That's why we can't work together. That's why we hate each other. We're envious of each other because he allows these spirits to be put on us because we're not keeping his law. And it don't matter how many people we get to come together and say we want to get our sovereignty. If we don't keep God's law, God said, I'm not going to let it happen. And so that is the single most important thing. You know, church is the seventh day. Matter of fact, church is wherever two or more are gathered. God said, I don't know the man. And these doggone preachers out here, they not preaching the word of God. They preaching prosperity so you can feel good about yourself and give them some money.
He said the meek shall inherit the earth, not those who, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I agree with you in every, and I'm not a Christian anymore. I reverted to the ancient laws. And one of the reasons why I like what Grandmaster Jay teaches is because he teaches the closest thing to spiritual practice that has ever been seen on this earth. He preaches from the Coptic Bible. He preaches, I don't know if any of you have heard of the Book of Enoch. Those are the books that Europeans removed from the Bible. And so there was an original scripture. Now, that even that scripture, the original Coptic scriptures, was one that was made in order to appease Europeans when they first hit the scene. We had to teach them to read. We had to teach them to bathe. We had to teach them. They didn't know how to bathe. They came, these people were, they're still today tribes of them that are walking on all fours right now. And you can research that for yourself. These are the ones that were created after us. Now, who created them? I have a theory. I think that's why they put up the book Frankenstein so much. I just think that's a strange reason for that the book is so poignant in their literary annals. But I digress. What I wanted to say is this: we have to realize one thing and that is that there are people in all of our organizations, the melanated organizations, who are supposed to be guiding us at the very top of those organs. When they murdered Malcolm X, the organization that he had started when he walked away from the Nation of Islam, all of those organizations have people at the heads of them that I don't believe we can trust, and I'll say why. We cannot trust these heads of these organizations, and I do mean every single one, churches included, none of them, because they know that they are guiding the people in the wrong direction and have been doing so for many, many years. When it's the right, when the right time, when it's seen correctly, those snakes of the heads of the snake heads of the these organizations won't be able to stop it. And see, this is why when Ramzi Yunus was in Detroit, the head of the Nation of Islam came there and tried to run everybody off.
Ashe.
Now I'm
going to
say that out loud.
Teach.
The head of that particular chapter came there and tried to run the people off and said, don't listen to this black man. You see, so the problem is not us as a people. The problem is that we have been given many false prophets.
Messiah
heard loud and clear. Someone else said it resonates. It resonates in your blood. It resonates. It has a vibration. And when a Messiah speaks, that brother that I was wanting to follow up behind him, the Gullah Geechee brother who was there, you're the one that I resonated with what you said. It resonates. It's like a drum beat. That's why drums have been played all over the world for indigenous people, the people of the land. They are in touch with the vibrations of the earth, with the nature, with the respect for ancestry, with the something we don't even, who honors their ancestors? Who daily goes and speaks to, you know, the Buddhas, they have a shrine. You go to the nail shop to get your nails done, ladies, and you got a shrine there, and they get fruit and put it on. We don't even think nothing of it, but you go to a black person's house who has an altar, and there are altars we don't care about. These men go get their toes done in the Buddhist shop and give them their money, and it's an altar there, and they don't even think nothing of it. Don't bother them. They're going to keep them in their money there, but you go to a black
Excuse me, someone has some background noise, some feedback.
Let go of the prejudices that have been created between us by Europeans, all religions. Now, that's how I feel about it. I'm sorry. I apologize for kind of going off there, but I had to say that. I yield the floor.
I like to just add to what you said, my sister, and I really appreciate you saying that. This is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, where it says, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." It said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel," it said, "against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you upon your evil doings, saith the Lord." He said, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." So I just wanted to say, just to verify what you're saying, that's according to the scripture. You're absolutely right.
That's right. Thank you, my brother, for reading it.
And I'd like to piggyback off what Champ said. I just want to say I agree with everything that you said, Champ. Just one thing that I disagree with.
Yes, ma'am.
And they weren't Jews. They were Hebrews.
No, you're right. Thank you. And you know what? You're absolutely right. And thank you for that correction. You're so right.
Man,
I was talking fast.
I have really enjoyed you all. You've made this holiday, this Father's Day, worthwhile. I really appreciate everyone who joined the show. But I want to go back to my Gullah Geechee brother. I want to talk to him. This brother has a story to tell. He is behind enemy lines. But I talk to this brother on a regular basis.
he has been my support system. He's watching over me. I call him my little guardian angel. Are you still on, brother? Is the Gullah Geechee brother still on the line? Well, he may have hung up, but this brother encourages me. He watches everything that we do at the Pendo Center. He watches every post. He's always, you know, in my inbox, sister, I agree. We always talk. We are a special people. I want to tell you, we're all special. Everybody's on this call is special. And y'all motivate me. Y'all just don't know. Sometimes I get so tired and I just want to give up. But when I think about it and I think about what's going to happen to our children, the next generation, I got to keep fighting. I got to keep going. You know, we're going to get our lot. This is our time, okay? This is our time. I'm claiming it. And I want y'all to claim it, too. We're going to keep fighting. I know I'm going to keep fighting because I'm not happy with a holiday for reparations. It was a slap in the face. And we deserve it.
Can I read?
Brother Champ, I would love to hear it, but let me just say this, and I'll be brief, I promise. I just wanted to add a couple of little things, and I'm gonna end with that. I'll just listen from here on out. The thing I said about Messiah, when Jesus did speak, people listened, and it was a movement. They couldn't stop. It resonated. When Grandmaster Jay speaks, it's a movement that people, it resonates with people. When Malcolm X spoke, when Martin Luther King spoke, see, they have messiahs. There are many messiahs. We just got to go on and defend them, protect them, stop letting and stop turning on them, because every one of those people that I just mentioned got turned on by their own people.
Yep.
For capitalism, for gain and
that's
fear.
True.
You know, the brother
true.
Said that, brother said it until the warrior clan stands up, but I got to say this, they're there. I see them every day. They don't have anything motivating them. They're not going to get up until the women get up and put ourselves in harm's way and stand up. And when we stand up, that's when the men are going to say, well, wait a minute, look at that. Hold on. Let me come up here. And that's how that works.
Well,
I
want to stop you. I need to stop you, my sister, and tell you I disagree with you, because if it wasn't for the woman, the man wouldn't be here, because it was the woman that went to the front door. When the white man knocked on the front door, the black man, he ran to the back of the room to hide, and it was a black woman that was getting raped, and it was her strength not to tell the black man that she was getting raped or her or their kids been abused. So the black woman has been the reason why the black man is here, because we have no power, no might, and they've made sure of that. That's why all the commercials, if you see, are always effeminizing men, or we are the laughing, we are the joke, so to speak, of all these television shows. There are really not any really masculine black men. So I just want to say the black woman is the only reason why the black man is here, because we've had no power to fight them. We've had no might. It's only been because of the black woman's strength that we are still here. Now, he said in the last days that he was going to raise up he said he was going to bring the two sticks back together, the two sticks, or the stick of Judah and the stick of Israel, because remember, the northern tribe, which was the 10 tribes, remember, they went into captivity with Assyria, and then after that, they broke away from the word of God. They started becoming worshiping other idols or whatnot, if you will. But then the tribe of Judah, which consisted of Benjamin and Levi, those are the ones that went down into Africa, into the Congo, and then eventually made their way around the world through the Atlantic slave trade and the sub-Saharan slave trade. And we met up here in America, the two sticks coming back together, or the two tribes, the tribe of Ephraim, which are basically Spanish-speaking Negroes, and the tribe of Judah, which are the English-speaking Negroes around the world, coming back together as one. And it's because of the black woman and her strength and her not giving up on us and not saying, well, I'm going to go get a white man because I buy you money more than the word of God, which is to love your own and to be among your own people. And so what is happening is that when we come together, we're not by the laws of God, we're not going to be permitted to marry another race because that is outside of the will of God. And at the end of the day, God told us to keep his will. But the last thing I'm going to say, I wanted to read this to you just so that you can understand what we're going through is God proving that he is with us, because he said in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, he said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. So he's saying, I haven't refined you by making you rich. He said, I have chosen thee in the affliction. He said, I'm sorry, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So all the people around the world that look like us that are going through some things, that means God has a purpose for your life. That's why you're afflicted. I mean, people think having money, it means that God is blessing you. No. The devil got the power to bless on this earth with those type of material things. But we're talking about spiritual salvation. We're talking about a kingdom, a rulership that he said only the children of Israel was going to be able to have forever and ever. And all these other nations are going to be added to us. And that's what the world don't want us to know. They don't want us to know that this is their kingdom and this is their time to do what they're going to do and live how they want to live, because God said, I don't have a covenant with them. He don't care. Like my son, I don't care what his friends do. I only care what my son do. And if I tell my son to do something and he don't do it, I'm going to be mad at him. I'm not going to be mad at his friends. His friends can have and do whatever they want to do. But my blood, my covenant, my sweat, my tears, my prayers is what my son. We are the and for lack of a better word, we are the wife. We are the woman that the Bible speaks about. When you hear it talking about the woman in Revelations, it's talking about the children of Israel. God is our husband. God is the male. He is our God, not just our God. He is our everything. He said that, yes, I claim other nations to be mine, but I only made my covenant with the children of Israel. And we keep failing because we think we can do what they do. No, he gave them the sword. He told Esau in Genesis 28:39 or 41, he said, by the sword ye shall live. But he told us, he said he was going to give us the dew of heaven. He told Esau, I'm going to give you the dew of heaven from above, meaning he'll bless who he'll bless among them. That's why we have rhythm. That's why we have soul and all the things that they have stolen from us. Every culture, hip-hop, music, you name it, it comes from us. We just don't understand because we believe that we should be equal like them. We ain't got to fight for, we don't need to necessarily fight to have what they have, because God said he going to give it all to us. We're not going to run the football. We're going to own the stadium that they kick the punts. And that's what we have to come to the understanding of, and that comes by trying to keep the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High by Yehoshua, by Christ. But see, we do go back to the foundation, but we are not going back to the foundation that where God said, my covenant is with you. My covenant is with you. It's not with everybody else. We keep wanting something, but God said everything was made for us. He said that the rest of the nations are like spittle, but they don't talk about this in church. And that's my problem with people that wear crosses when God said don't wear a cross, because he said don't worship wood and stone, wood being the holy cross, stone being the cobblestone for the Muslims. So our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And everything I say to you, I can tell you what it means according to the Bible, precept upon precept. So that's what I just want to end that by just throwing that out there. Our this hard times that we're having, this is good for us, because this is God saying us being refined. He said, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So the furnace meaning what we go through every day, robbing Peter to pay Paul, that's really God saying, I'm testing you, I'm purifying you. I could give you silver, but that ain't what I'm going to do, because the kingdom, when the kingdom gets here, this kingdom is going to be given to you at 12 gates. Each gate is named after one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what heaven is, and it's in the Bible. So I ask people, what gates you going through? We come from one father. That father that we come from is Shem, by way of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you break it all down, And we're in a world where it says, be what you want to be, do what you want to do, but that's not what God said. So I'll leave off there.
Well, thank you, champ. It's always a joy to have you on our show because I know you're going to spit that knowledge to reach our soul. Sister Lily, I appreciate you. Sister Candida, all of you callers, I appreciate you joining the call today on this holiday, on Father's Day. I hope we come together again next week. I will be putting up a time and a date because we have some things coming up. We have All Eyes on Detroit. We have some things that we're going to be trying to get pushed. We have some things in Oklahoma that we're going to be working on. And we're going to continue this conversation on the legality of reparations. And I'm going to be teaching out of that UN 6147. With that being said, I am going to close out the show. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And good night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much, sister. Brother.
Thank you. I love you all. Good night.
Peace.
Never find life. Baby, I'm on it.
Love and hate, you see, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate, you see, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think to see. That liberation, and baby, I want it. Can't worry about what another nigga think. Now that's liberation, and baby, I want it.
Let me hear it, let me hear it. Let me hear it over.
How many times I sit back and contemplate a fresh off the tank when I'm telling my story. Relationship with my folks is give and take, and I done took so much, not giving my glory. To have a choice to be who you want to be is left over to me, and my mama them told me. I say to have a choice to be who you want to be is left over. And my mama them told me.
I'm so tired, been so long struggling, hopelessly settling for the day. Ooh, I sacrifice every breath I breathe to make it relieve. I give my life away.
Shake them low off, shake them low off, shake them low off, shake them low off.
admit, they planted a lot of things in the brains and the veins of my strain. Makes it hard to refrain from the host of cocaine, from them whores, from the flame, from a post in the game. Makes it hard to maintain focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials, the seeds that sowed get devoured by the same locust. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall and the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now my voice they cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten. Plains dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you false to dread it. Melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gonna get it started? We be the lion-hearted, without infanticide. It's like that red sprite, you can't imagine. Unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes. Getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel. Packing steel, picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers. You a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tail between your legs. Throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping. Libertad, libertad, libertad.